And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Yeah, don't a fear here on Declare. Your independence and me, Ernest Hancock, here in Tony Paw, out in the middle of the desert, Arizona, IA, where it's warm. Yeah, I did. My voice is starting to go. I did like 6-7 hours of radio yesterday, which means that I talk constantly for at least 12 hours. So what we're going to do is in the third hour today, we have Cal Washington. This is a recommendation from Matt White over on Telegram here. He said, Cal Washington, in power. Now it's reclaiming your God-given authority over your health and home by holding corporate agents accountable in areas of 5G, smart meters, vaccines, etc. What he demonstrating here is what's common. You know, we got the smart city thing. It's being pushed here in Arizona, and we kind of highlighted that a couple of years ago. Here we go. There's a big giant plan, and you don't get to have a say. So, you know, here we go. Now, John Q, you know, about this time every year, it's during the holidays. He is vacation from in the bowels of the secret bunker of, and John Q comes out. We're going to talk about Arizona and national politics, election fraud, etc., because he's in the know on a lot of stuff. So, John Q, tell me, you know, was there election fraud?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, not that there's not election fraud in any other election in the last, 20 years or probably 100 years, but this time, I mean, they left no stone unturned. I mean, they had the contingency plan and the contingency plan of the contingency plan. You know, if the mail-ins didn't work, then they brought in votes off the res. If that didn't work, they had 100,000 votes ready to go on pallets on a U.S. Postal Service truck. And then they had the fractional votes and Dominion voting on the voting systems. I mean, Trump really did break the algo this time. You got to hand it to him. He got the most votes of any incumbent president. I mean, he how he brags. He says, "I'm most popular president in the history of the world." Numbers show that that's true based on votes, and that's in spite of massive headwinds and massive fraud. It's pretty remarkable. So then you got to ask yourself, how did someone who did not campaign and was told not to campaign and didn't have campaign events and could barely speak to begin with, get 13 or 12 million more votes than the Obama landslide in 2008. You know, it's funny, Obama never congratulated Joe about that, did he?
Did you go down to the hearings here at the Hyatt Regency in Arizona?
I happened to be there. I did. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We went by and, you know, circled the Hyatt a couple of times to see some people that we knew and, of course, be seen. And they saw the love bus and we passed out some, you know, Christmas love cards and such as that. But, you know, just to show our face on our way to go visit grandkids. But it was a big crowd. And they had, but I tell you, Trump people, they like their flags, man. They got lots of flags. And having the flag poles, you think that's of interest. They used to freak out about that. But there is, what was the emotion, the feeling inside? Was it awe? Was it we're just going through the motions? Was it, oh, my God, we got to get them? I didn't go inside. What was going on?
So the purpose of this was, I don't know if it's a Trump campaign or Rudy, you know, Rudy, the independent attorney, had been in contact with a couple of more, you know, traditional conservative, not neocon conservative legislators in the state. The Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate here in Arizona, weren't motivated to call a special session of the state, call the state legislature into special session, which is what it would be needed to send Republican electors to the Electoral College at this point, right? Because they certified the same time that hearing was going on, they certified the Arizona vote. Doug Ducey, the ice cream man, certified the, or otherwise known as the Lego man, or Cindy McCain's pocket child, certified the Arizona vote. So so the only other pathway, other than having a court completely overturn that certification and, you know, demonstrate sufficient fraud to change votes, which never happens, right? Rudy had been in contact with legislators who held this special hearing to gather information to motivate, pressure, inform other legislators to vote on calling itself back into special session, because Doug Ducey isn't going to do it. The governor isn't going to do it. Why? Why would he call something to special session to overturn the electoral slate that he basically signed off on, right? So the legislature has to call itself back into special session, but they weren't motivated to do so. So they got some good conservative, I guess, independent-minded, patriot state senators and state Republicans to do this hearing, gather the facts, and present it to their colleagues to call themselves back in the special session. So they need to get that call out, and I think it takes like a two-thirds majority or something like that. I don't know.
Is that going to happen?
You know, it's possible. You know, it's probably unlikely, but it's definitely possible, and they're working on it. And I can tell you that the data is, I mean, it's clear. It's you know, there's a law called, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, misprison of felony or misprison of treason. And I can tell you, misprison of felony is when you know a felony has occurred, like fraud, right? You know it has occurred and you don't report it. Technically speaking, our governor, this is pretty amazing. You have to really think about this. The governor, the Secretary of State, a couple board of supervisors, you know, they, I don't want to say they have, because I have to be careful about, you know, what do you call it, liability or slander. But there's a very distinct possibility that they have knowledge of fraud. And if that's true, they are guilty of the crime, the federal crime of misprison of felony. And if they don't stick together, they're going to jail. I mean, that's how bad it is. It's really, really bad.
Well, you know my history on election. I knew exactly how they were going to do it. And I'm the problem is that every single effort was to create as much paper as possible. Then dump
That's
that
right.
paper.
Create a cloud.
Right. And get passed along.
Create a cloud and operate within it. Mm-hmm.
If they can get the ballots passed a line, they're validated. And they get counted. And once they hit the tabulation computer, it's over. Because even if
we don't want to forget that Cindy McCain gets the Biden ambassadorship to the United Kingdom.
What?
That's the payoff. Yeah, that's the payoff.
Oh, we're going to hear about that when we come back just a little bit. Oh, it's so I'm Trump the movie. I'm waiting. Produced by Trump.
From the first letter of Dr. Idris.
Yeah, okay. What? So Cindy McCain is now U.S. Ambassador of the United Kingdom?
Well, yeah, she's going to be. Mm-hmm.
Well, where did that come out? You know, what?
Yeah, Cindy McCain and Jeff Flake endorsed Biden. And the payoff for Cindy McCain in the Biden administration is the ambassadorship to the UK.
Well, how do you know that?
It's our over the news already.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
see,
and
this...
the best part is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Best part what?
The best part is that, you know, there are some who believe that she's now control. Control meaning the leader of all the off-books stuff. You know, that McCain was control, and now Cindy's control. And that's what those white envelopes were getting passed back and forth at his second funeral, where all the bipartisan people were there, right? They were passing each other white envelopes. No one ever knew it was in it. It was informing people that Cindy is now control. And now they're sending off-books control, which is the head of all the off-books stuff, right in the middle of the beast, man, right to the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, right to the Queen, right back to the Queen as ambassador.
You know, I have, you know, this is something you might know. I have a guy that writes four stories.
I'm not going to say that word. I'm not going to say that word control, though, on the air. That's capital C, control.
Well, this is being recorded. You know that, right?
Oh, boy. Okay.
How many times I got to tell you, you know? Anyway, this is something for you to comment on. I got an story from a guy, Robert Klein. He's a professor at whatever, and he calls it Terraforming Terra now instead of Climate Change Blog or whatever. I mean, you know, same thing. But he's Vancouver, British Columbia, and he's a physics essayist on whatever. So he's been publishing on Freedom's Phoenix for a decade. And not let them all.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah, he's a real smart guy.
Well, it's a different perspective. Well, he put up this one story. He kind of went, you know, QAnon, even though he's, you know, kind of environmentalist. And the headline, it was from beforeitsnews.com or something, one of those, but he comments on it. And, yeah, what is it? Beforeitsnews.com. Obama, Biden, CIA Director Gina Haspel evidently arrested for espionage voter fraud. And he goes on through.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Yeah, and I'm like.
That's a cue distractor.
You know, it became popular on the site. I didn't put it at the top. I kind of buried it in the middle of there. I didn't want to, you know, not put it up, but it just, you know, more out there. I don't know if I'm being set up. I don't care.
It's a wet dream distractor. That's all. It's a wet dream distractor. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not even worth talking about, honestly. Because all that happens in the discussions of articles like this is, yes, it is, no, it isn't, yes, it is. What's that? Division. So they interject mockingbird information, and all of a sudden, the Patriot or Libertarian movement or whatever it is now divided, right? Done. They did their job. Or they spin for a month till they figure it out. It's stupid. And I don't see how people don't see through it. It's just retarded. Excuse my...
Well,
sorry,
should I delete it or not?
Matter, huh? No, I mean, whatever. I think you prioritized it appropriately.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
You know, here's something John Q can help me with. You know, we talk about it a little bit. I have a lot of contributors, you know, that contribute to Freedom's Phoenix as writers and so on. And one of them is a professor out of British Columbia that, you know, it was called climate change dot whatever, global warming, you know, something or whatever he calls it. Now he calls it, you know, Terraforming Terra or any kind of, you know, whichever wind blows. But he puts up four stories a day. And they're usually Sasquatch kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it's UFO dead and the big giant bird or animal of the something or whatever, you know. It's variety, and I put them up, but, you know, it's down, it's below the fold. I mean, you know, it's never like top story or something. But here's some clickbait, man. It goes, Obama, Biden, CIA director Gina Haspel evidently arrested for espionage, voter fraud, blah, 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 blah. Now, you read it, and you go, okay, that's interesting, and it interweaves a bunch of stuff about, you know, capturing the servers in Germany, and there's a firefight for this, and some people died, and yada, 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 yada. And I'm going, now, it's beforeitsnews.com has broken a lot of stuff that's him commenting on that article. The way he does it, he has a couple of paragraphs of his spiel, and he's kind of gone QAnon, and of his spiel, and then it has the article copied from the link, which was on Before It's News. So I'm going, you know, I mean, it's a good story. I can't, do I censor it? Do I not put it up? You know, I sure as hell wasn't going to put it in the, you know, above the fold, you know, top of Freeman's Phoenix, but I put it in, and of course it was popular. You know, it's one of the most popular, but he's clicking on it, and, you know, I'm going, I mean, you know, I have, nothing surprises me anymore, but I'm sitting here hovering over the delete record button. And, you know, do I take it off the front page? But it'll still be on the site in that category. So I'm, you know, John Q. Public, you know, what, you know, how would you address something like
that? That's called, that's in quantum physics, we call that the many worlds theory, right? And in that world, it's the sane world of what should happen, what a lot of people want to have happen in a sane world, what did happen. But in this world, it's kind of just like a wow, we'd really love if this would happen, but no, it's never gonna.
You know, John Rappaport did an article like that. It was so-and-so, right? And he just went through it, and he goes, none of this is true. But then he wrote it. It was one of the most popular articles we've had up. You know, it was on, you know, yep. For vaccine crimes.
It's the same thing, but it's just repeated in Mockingbird style as if it actually did happen. And then what happens with that, with Mockingbird information is it confirmed? Is it not confirmed? Is it confirmed? Divide the community. Divide the community. Fight. A month later, a new story comes out and people are chasing that squirrel, right? And then this old squirrel is gone. But in the meantime, instead of focusing on an incredible amount of fraud that just happened in a presidential election being stolen, people are fighting about did Gina Haspel get elected or was there a firefight at a server farm? I mean, it's dumb. Honestly, you know, it's, hey, man, if it did happen, I wish it did. But that's not the point. The point is that they interject Mockingbird information, have people chase squirrels, fight amongst themselves, not pay attention to fraud, and then the new Mockingbird story comes out.
Yeah. I'm leaning towards hitting the delete record. I mean, it's out there. It's on another site. It's not like, you know, I'm censoring it front.
Well, it is true in an alternate world. Ah! In a sane world, it's true, right?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to, you know. All right. I'm God, man, I'm really, I hit delete. Damn it. Because it's out there, but it's just, you know, I'm, you know, but did I delete it in time to not go to IPFS for it's there forever from us? You know, so I gave you a little, I don't know, people had some conspiracy candy there for a little bit, but I'm just, it's,
hey, you know, man, I love a good conspiracy, you know that. I love it, but this one is just a little too obvious, right? It's
well,
Mockingbird,
you know,
Mockingbird injection, divide, chase, new
it's,
story.
You know, not just surprises me anymore. It's getting so freaking crazy out there. You know, the one thing that got me was I'm not a big, giant, you know, president rule me supporter guy. And Frank and I went, I had, what was it? It was over almost 4 or 5 hours that Frank and I went yesterday. And the after show is like an additional 3 hours. It was just us going at it. And And, yeah, support this president because he needs to for the fraud. And I'm like, yeah, no, I think he should keep doing what he's doing. Peace out, man. Go kick ass. You know, I think you should do exactly what you're doing. But, you know, to what? Be my president and rule me? You know, I'm not advocating, you know, it's like we're fighting over who gets to rule us. And I'm just not,
you know,
motivated.
If there were a king of libertarians, you'd be him. There's no doubt in my mind.
Right. I'm the king
of
freaking me.
The irony of that statement is awesome, isn't it?
I'd be king of me. You know, take me to your leader. Well, here he is, man. Let's do it. You know, so it's just an attitude. Well, what do you think is going to happen? The Trump administration or team or whatever, they're going to keep pushing this. I'm glad that they are. This needs to be documented because who the hell else is going to do it? And Patrick Byrne, I thought he kind of went into seclusion, was going to wait till after the election, but he didn't. You know, he's out there. So I put in a request for him to come on again, but I'm really not super motivated for him to come on now during the middle of all this stuff. I'd rather talk to Patrick after, you know, after the inauguration, after they got it. I mean, of course, I'll take him. But, you know, what I'm really looking for is I want to hear, you know, the conclusion, the after story, what's going to happen now.
He's legit. That's an interesting one, right? I don't know if you saw his video that came out a couple of weeks ago, but he spent a lot of his own money and hired a whole team of white hat hackers. That's legit. Like, he's legit.
I know that Patrick. I've interviewed Patrick probably, 6, 7, 8 times since 2009 on his, naked short selling stuff. You know, he spoke at a Freedom Summit. Yep. You know, I visited
him. And he was a big Ron Paul supporter. Yep.
Yeah, no, he's, big. I only vote Libertarian. And I'm like, you're still voting? But anyway, so it's, we're on the same page. He's all pirated up, man. He's digging it. But I didn't bug him when he left and just said, man, I'm out of here. I respect you. I'm not even going to bug him. Well, now he's back. I'm like, hey, man, what up? You know, let's do it. But when Donna sent the request, I was like, yeah, I'm not in a big, giant hurry. I'd rather do a summary after everything and get, you know, a real picture of what happened, what's going on with the investigation, what information you have, what's going to happen. Because what's going to have to happen to fix this is it has to be state by state by state changing the election laws back to something that can be, you know, accurate from what the hell we got now, and you can see it coming. And I'm just like, it's all about generating paper that they can. Yeah, we got a recount. Yep, recount the paper. Yep, it's the same thing. We win. Ha 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 ha. So it's broken. Is it going to get fixed? We'll find out.
I'm a little obsessed.
Yeah, this is. What do you think is going to happen? Is there motivation? Because when I had these hearings, and you got, you know, Giuliani's team, which is, I'm not a big giant fan of him either. When they do all this stuff, and the old legislators, I'm listening to some of it online, and they're like, oh, heavens to Murgatroyd, I had no idea. Oh, shut up, you liar.
Yeah, I know. So a couple of things. So this is where this, because I know you agree with stirring up the swamp too, for better or worse, right? I know you agree with that. That's why I voted for Trump in the first place. So this is where Rudy actually struck me as an actually good person, which surprised me when I met him. But this is where Trump's relentless narcissism works for us, right? Works for the country. Trump wants his legacy secure in history. He's not joking around about that. Him and his family. He wants to be in the history books as a hero, and he wants his family secure for in perpetuity, right? So he's not messing around. And same with Rudy. I mean, look, Rudy put his entire legacy on the line for this. They're not screwing around. Now, does that mean they're going to prevail? God only knows. But there's definitely a real possibility that they will, and they're all in. I mean, both sides are all in. All the chips are on the table. It's all in. Sidney McCain, control, getting the ambassadorship to the UK. She's all – I mean, these people are all in.
To what?
Hey, if you want to hear more about the hearing, let me know because you only have me for another half hour. But I'm
no,
gonna,
I got you
I'm,
for the hour after too. We're going 2 hours. Like,
no, no. Only
no,
that
2
one.
Hours. 2 hours.
Let me see if I can – let me see what my schedule.
Well, I don't have a guest in the next hour, so freaking stay. Come on, man. Well, when do we get to do this?
Let me, I'll just go into my call here, and if no one shows up, then I'll stay on. How's that?
All right. Are you going into it now?
No. It's at the top of the hour. I'm good.
All right. Well, hell no, man. I want to do a podcast. I need to get you on it. I will drive the bus to your front yard, and you can get in on the Love Boat.
How long are you here for?
Till at least July. January. You know, we're doing a lot of activism here in Arizona. You know, I slate.
Well, I have. Let's see. I have. I could do maybe with Frank one time. I could do this slot Friday mornings, and then I have 2 weeks off at the end of the year, so I could do that.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were in your vacation. Well, let's. No. Yeah. Hell yeah. I'll do it just to, you know, the secret, you know, pull up your front yard thing or something. I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah. All hell right. Yeah. Well, BC, well, you know, as much as they triangulate my cell signal so they know who John Q is or whatever, but, you know.
I'll drive a little bit towards you, you know.
All right. Well, we're kind of all over the valley. We're trying to find a house to rent so that we can do the Christmas party. And it's kind of rough this time of year. They can take a bus, you know. But the, we want to do the Christmas party and see everybody. That'd be fun. Plus, we got, you know, some activism to do and bringing some guys in, distribute and make signs and do. I'm going to be a butthead Arizona man. I see what's coming. They're all in. You know, this is it. They pulled the trigger because they had to. They were losing control, and you know, so it's on. It's not later. All right, here we're coming back.
So if you use that word with a capital C, I could fill
in
some links.
Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.
Why you can't say the word, but I can.
Whatever. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
John Q. Public. You know, this is a longtime friend. You know, some of you may recognize his voice if you're activist. But, you know, he's like, hey, man. No, he'd be clandestine on the show because, you know, stuff. He just knows better. He's in security. So he knows that, you know, if it's even audio, check, text, CC, video, somebody kind of boom, it shows up on a search. So he's like, nope. Got to be all clandestine. Now, one thing is, here in Arizona, it was obvious that, you know, the coctopus, you know, that kind of, you know, the big funders of all things libertarian, they're part of the problem. I'll just come out and say it. I mean, I'm not shy about it. You know, these guys, they use the Liberty community as like a suitcase of influence and votes and threat and candidates to pull from and do. But the real thing, they're part of the cabal of, you know, we get what we want. And their big thing is energy. You know, it's all about oil and stuff. They're in with the boys. So this whole Liberty community, Cato, Reason, Libertarian Party, is co-opted to hell. I've sat there and watched it happen for decades. I'm not shy about it. Here it comes. You just, FYI, so you know, your local Libertarian guy of whatever, doesn't matter, you know. So I'm, it doesn't surprise me to see that Jeff Flake, which was one of the head guys of the Goldwater Institute, which is under Cato and so on. He and I got, you know, doings back in the early 90s and mid 90s, and him becoming U.S. Senator, and he was one of the guys tapped to be Presidente of America. And one of the reasons that they left, you know, a lot of these guys left, Trent Franks and a lot of people here in Arizona, when Trump was in there, they go, whoa, we got to sit this one out. We'll come back later, you know. Now, there's going to be some, you know, mud slung around, and we're going to take a chill pill. So there's a plan, and the big plan was get rid of Trump. Now, one of the things, there's a machine here in Arizona that centered around John McCain. John McCain was not locally popular. Now, they didn't have that, but that didn't matter. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do. And gazillions of dollars and whatever we need to push buttons to whatever, keep John in there. And there was a thing that he's in control of that, you know, it's control. You know, this guy, control. Well, when he goes, who takes on this machine? This is where Ducey and McSally was part of this thing and what they're going to do. Well, come to find out, it's Cindy McCain. Now, Cindy McCain, his wife, is not just some, you know, trophy wife. She was the daughter of a liquor distributor here in Arizona that ran everything. So John McCain was more like, you know, Hillary Rodham Clinton's father latching on to Bill Clinton. I mean, we're going to get somebody that we can, you know, ride this with and be the front man or something. So that's kind of the impression I got of John McCain. And I ran against him in 04, and I'll tell you, the guy's not all there. I mean, you know, he was, he's not none there now, but he was, man, he was a hothead. And you'd cross him, he'd go, I was always nice. I didn't even, wasn't even running against him. I didn't care about him, you know, but we got along fine. But I've seen people, they challenge him a little bit, he'll go purple. I mean, he's ready. You have to have people around him to hold him off. I mean, he'd just go nuts. So I'm like, wow, that is really? You know, so now that he's gone, there's a thing, you know, control. Well, Ducey, influenced by this, this is how McSally gets in there. That was a weird thing. Then, of course, she loses, and we have Ducey certifying the election while these hearings are going on, and President Trump, Hail to the Chief, is playing on his phone while he's signing it, kind of thing. Yeah, I'll take that call later. But, so I want to ask John Q here, was there some reward? Is there some trade-off? Is Cindy getting something out of this? What?
Oh, you bet she is. So let's go back to Cindy McCain for a second, right? You said that liquor distribution, right? But her family, right, goes all the way back to Prohibition times and the famous Canadian liquor runner's family that starts with a B, which I'm not going to say. But, you know, this is kind of, you know, a peripherally mobbed up family. I don't want to say more than that. And then
why? You
know, yeah. Then, yeah, the famous Prohibition era guy, family runner who's Bronf, something, I don't want to say more than that. Yeah, that the Hemsleys were tied up with him. In fact, they were a subsidiary of that organization, let's say, that off-books organization. So, yeah, so McCain is, it was called McCain Corporation. I mean, there's the McCain Institute at Arizona State University. One of the directors of the board of the McCain Institute at Arizona State University was the guy who physically picked up the Steele dossier in Halifax and flew it to Washington D.C. to hand over to McCain and Comey. I mean, it's deep there. And then of course you had Matt Salmon, who was executive director of the McCain Institute at ASU.
What?
And you know, he's kind of from the Mesa area, if you understand what I mean. And then
he's Mormon. He was a state legislator.
And then you got
Jeff, goes to be congressman. You limited
and
him.
Congressman. Yep.
Yeah, no, you
and
seem
you
to.
Have,
I've known Matt fairly well, and he always wanted to be, you know, like the good guy and the champion for freedom and all that kind of whatever.
Then well, that's what Flake wanted to be, right? That's what Flake purported himself to be, too. And then Flake, of course, is from the Mesa area, let's say. And so they turned or maybe not even turned, maybe just Cindy McCain and Jeff Flake were part of it, right? Jeff Flake's deep, you know what, deep S in many respects, not just one word, S. But he's part of it. And the McCains, of course, were part of it. And so they got Cindy McCain and Jeff Flake to – Cindy McCain to influence the Purple North Central Phoenix Republicans to not vote for Trump, if not vote for Biden, not at least not vote for Trump. And then they got Flake to work on a faction of the Mesa contingent, if you will, to not vote for Trump. If they didn't vote for Biden, at least not vote for Trump. And that was a big chunk of votes. You know, all they needed was 10,000, 20,000 to sway. And so Cindy's payoff purportedly in the news, it's out now, is she's going to be the Biden ambassador to the UK. So they're sending that position that you mentioned earlier right back to the source of international espionage and right back to the Queen. She'll be right there in the middle of where she wants to be.
So here we have John McCain. That was the center of all, you know, a lot of crap. And here in Arizona, people knew. But
a word that starts with a C.
That word control, I can say it. The so this comes, whatever, it's a word, doesn't matter. I called it the McCain machine. I mean, you know, it's just part of the whatever. And I didn't know it was that large.
Oh, bigger than that.
And that freaking Matt Salmon was head of the whatever, man. Matt ran for governor in 2002, and he and I had several conversations. He blamed me for him losing to Janet Napolitano. And the reason is because right before the election, there was a big Second Amendment rally thing scheduled in Tucson, and he lost the Second Amendment support because some guy came to University of Arizona and shot his professor. And when that happened, they got all afraid, and we're not going to have a Second Amendment rally anymore. And I go, you just lost. So we made a big deal out of it. You know, I was saying the problem with that, there weren't enough guns, or the people didn't have guns there. They had to wait for another guy with a gun to come get the guy with a gun. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. And him pulling on that and showing his weakness on the Second Amendment is what cost him the election. And so he would go around. We're at the Biltmore on, I think it was the 25th anniversary of the Goldwater Institute kind of deal. And he's going around, you know, Flake and all these guys are there. Yep, here's the guy. And he puts his arm around it. It cost me the election. It's his fault. You know, that kind of crap. And I'm going, Matt, you're killing me, man. You know, you did it, and I told you what was going to happen because when you did that. Now, he and I had talked before along with Speaker Wires. Speaker of the House. He and Matt called me on, you know, several other things. So we knew each other well enough that they tried to get my endorsement or pull off on giving somebody crap on different things. But for him to be head of the McCain thing, that is a big sellout that I did not know about. So I'm okay. Well, that clarifies a bunch of stuff. When we come back, Cindy McCain, ambassador to the UK.
Are you feeling confused about the current economic?
That is Matt, I did not see that one coming. You know, I figured he'd stay away from that. You know, it was like John Shattuck, congressman, the TARP, voted down immediately. And then, of course, he brings it back because you had to have somebody that voted against it to bring it back. John McCain brings it back. National socialization of the economy isn't fascist when I do it. John S.S. Shattuck. You know, we put all those signs up. When that happened, you know, Tom Jenny and some other guys, they're all
well,
on my
ass. You know, Shattuck was supposed to hold McCain's Senate seat, but I don't know if he couldn't or didn't want to or whatever. That's why they picked McSally. It was supposed to be Shattuck.
Kyle
or Shattuck.
Yeah, no. Either one. Zeke Kyle and S.S. Shattuck. I told him. I said, you do this, I will brand you. You will never get office again. I go, go ahead, make my day. And they were on my ass to not do it. I go, no. No,
remember
hell
in the
no.
90s, they were supposed to be the pro liberty people. Kyle Shattuck, Flake.
No, Shattuck wrote in Citizens Taking Initiative in our newspaper. He was all against the baseball stadium and all that stuff. I mean, it was all bullshit. You know, I know these guys for a long time.
Yep.
See, this is how, you know, the Coctopus works. They use the liberty community as influence, a block of votes, you know, stand down, that kind of thing. They gaslight you, all that kind of crap.
Yep.
Well, that doesn't work on me. But they, man, but Flake knows better, doesn't want to engage with me, doesn't want to be in the same room. Every time I'm anywhere, he just quietly just disappears. He didn't want to have anything to do because he understands.
Well, you had Cinema, too. You had Cinema, too.
You know, I had Judge Buttrick came on a month or so ago, and we were talking about all this. And one of the subjects that we brought up was how dangerous Cinema is. And because he debates.
Oh, she's going to run for president. They're grooming her for president.
Of course.
You know that, right?
I've been telling her, I go, look, the Cinema is freaking on the list of, man, this, you guys don't know. You're just putting when Cinema gets in there, you might as well just give George Soros, you know, the keys to the throne, man. I mean, you know, this is, and that's what we were talking about. I wanted to get it on record. You know, federal retired Judge Buttrick was representing, I think it was, was it 2000 or 96? He represented Harry Brown in a presidential representation debate of whatever. And she represented, I think, Ralph Nader when she was socialist. Now, she used to be registered socialist. And then she went green and then Democrat. And now and Kyrsten Sinema, U.S. Senator here in Arizona, is very smart. So smart, she's scary. And she plays the game perfectly. You know, to the point that now I think she, you know, she's all, you know, bi or gay or whatever. And now she's married or something. I whatever sells better in Peoria, I guess.
Or you'd never know. You'd never know. Yeah. And she's I mean, all her signs are purple. So she's flashing the purple color revolution color, for purple Republicans to vote for her. No, yeah. Absolutely.
No, Kyrsten Sinema is the future. I can see this is what they want to do. Smart, we want to rule you. Deep state, progressive, whatever the hell. However,
but with a smile, with a pleasant face.
Oh,
and a
yeah,
smile.
She's gonna be pretty and wear a nice dress and go on a diet. I get it, and I just wanted to make sure. I don't think people understand how serious this is. All right, we're coming back. Here we go.
I'm Holland Cook. Live video of our key New Hampshire based shows is streamed on DLive. Please follow and share at DLive.LRN.FM. That's DLive.LRN.FM.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
From.
I want to break free from your lies, yeah, so
uncover the secrets and expose the lie. Man, there's a hope. That's why that slogan came out. When we first did Freedom's Phoenix, Tiger goes, well, you got a slogan? You want a slogan? Immediately. It didn't take me half a second. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. Because I am just so, this is what we do. Now, John Q. Public here, he's one of those guys from the inside of the conservative wing of the kind of, you know, he's one of our, you know, we know what's what from the inside. So there's there's been a lot of things that we've, you know, been able to share with each other. Oh, it was John Q. that told me about Teneo. The October, I think it was, September-October, right before the 16 election, it was announced, a big deal, in the Wall Street Journal. And then they tried to spike it. They were trying to hide it. Like, you had to go get the actual copy of the paper. That was amazing. That the Teneo was Doug Band, which was like Uma Abedin is to Hillary. He was to Bill and personal assistant. And they had some kind of access to the president, and we got in schedule of, and you get to talk to and endorse and speak at and give me money and whatever, and influence and corruption or us. Well, they wanted to take Teneo, which was corruption or us, and put it as an initial public offering on Wall Street. You would be able to invest in corruption. It was amazing. Well, when Trump won, that IPO was supposed to be scheduled for 17.
The week of inauguration.
Yeah, it was in January of 17 or something. So they were going to, and they canceled that. Well, I made a big deal with James Corbett on this. I'm going, James, you watch this thing, man. I'm telling you this. And he goes, why, you know, of course he's dealing in big conspiracies or whatever. And he goes, why is this such a big deal to you? I go, because they've taken corruption to Wall Street. You know, invest here. You know, we're a stock, man. Woo, our stocks are going up. And anybody, any foreign state, corporation, any, you want to get it done, America, corruptionrus.com, okay? And I'm going, this is blatant. Well, Corbett just sent me yesterday or day before, he sent me an email. He goes, well, I guess you were right. Here you go. Boom. It's in Vanity Fair, Doug Band, you know, going on about his Clinton contacts in the era of. And I'm going, you know, I just kind of scanned it. I didn't read it. I mean, whatever. I already knew this stuff. So do you think Teneo is going to come back? Are we going to get an IPO? Are they going to reconstitute some kind of thing?
I don't know if there's going to be an IPO because I don't think they're as hooked into Biden as they were into the Clintons. That they did form a Teneo type of company around Biden called West Exec. I saw one news article about it, and Biden is recruiting a bunch of his cabinet members and high-level positions out of West Exec. So it's not exactly like Teneo, but it's similar. It's a consulting company, consulting with air quotes, right?
Yeah.
Where they're recruiting out of that to staff a bunch of positions in the Biden administration. West exec. I think it's
New York Times. Biden aides ties to consulting and investment firms pose ethics test.
That's it. Yeah. So now, do I think Teneo's got its hooks in? Of course I do, right? That's their business model and their big business. I mean, you got to check out their website one day. I mean, they have intelligence offices in 50 nations capitals around the world. They're still a player, big player.
This is just the beginning.
Hooked in as West.
Well, what do you think is going to happen with Trump? Is it going to be Trump TV, Trump, you know, the movie, Trump, you know, not going away, Trump 24?
I mean, I'm rooting for the guy to prevail here. If you forced me to put a percentage on his ability to prevail in all this, I'd probably put it between 20% and 25%. That's, you know, is it high probability? No, but is it a definite possibility? Certainly, it's a definite possibility, and I want him to prevail. But, you know, he doesn't want to let his legacy go into the night. Rudy doesn't want to let his legacy go into the night. You know, go down the toilet. So they're fighting. I mean, they're fighting hard.
Yeah, but, I want them to keep,
you know,
doing
what happens to Trump after this? I don't know. He'll want to go back into media. I mean, he doesn't want his legacy to be tarnished. He wants his family set for the rest of their lives, and his Barone and his grandkids set for the rest of their lives, and he doesn't want to go down in history as another Nixon or worse.
Okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm sending this to Donna Archive. Boom. All right, Donna, I sent you an email. Three stories that go up. Put them up on top of the page and put them all in the first hour of the archive with John Q and I. Because it has the West Tech Advisors, you know, their webpage. This is like Teneo stuff. Then you have, where is this? Politico.com, the secretive consulting firm that's become Biden's cabinet in waiting. So they had it already. You know, these guys, we're moving in. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, so they're going to replace Melania Trump's taste with Jill Biden's something. I don't know, pictures of dogs playing cards or whatever.
There's a reason they renovate the White House every time. You understand this, right?
For security.
There's a reason they renovate. They got to get rid of all the surveillance stuff and all the protection stuff that's in the walls and in the lamps and in the pictures and everything.
Wow. Okay, so West Tech, West Exec.
Is it West Exec?
Yeah, West Exec Advisors. West Exec Advisors is a strategic advisory firm, you already know, that offers unique geopolitical and policy expertise to help business leaders make the best decisions in a complex and volatile international landscape. We are an unrivaled bipartisan team of senior national security leaders with the most recent experience. Unmatched networks in defense, foreign policy, intelligence, economics, cybersecurity, data privacy, and strategic communications. We create significant advantages for our clients by providing unparalleled expertise on the external factors and relationships that affect businesses. From geopolitical trends and risks to economic developments to an evolving technological landscape to changes in Washington and in other capitals around the world. Who we are. West Tech Advisors is a diverse group of blah, 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 blah. So we rule you. Man, so this is in the White House now, or will be, maybe, you know, whatever. Oh, yep. God. See, you always got the best goodie. All right,
and then
so
you,
Teneo
you pay,
West Tech.
Then if you need something done, if you need a little legislation, you pay West Tech Consultants, which is totally legal, an unspecified, unlimited amount, and then somehow, your issue makes it through the House and Senate and the science, somehow. It's totally, no one knows how. It's almost magical.
Yeah, you no, this is how it's always been. And this was what, you know, James Corbett was on me. He goes, why are you so on this? I go, because it's blatant, out in the open, and a stock. I mean, when you're going and doing an initial public offering of CorruptionRUs.com and you can invest in it, you know, this is, you know, I know people, you know, maybe you be one of them, you know, the kind of people that go, yep, here comes the deep state. I'm going to buy, let's see, I got to get me some Raytheon. I got to get me some Boeing. I got to get me some, you know, because whether you support it or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, you buy the stocks that are going to profit. I mean, you might as well make money while things are going down. It doesn't mean you support it, but you know, then convert it to gold later.
Yeah, so, you know, John Q, the inside trader on corruption. Yeah, okay. Well, better you make the money than me. Golly.
I'm not part of it, but I can see it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, brother. I understand. All right, so Ducey, the governor here, what do they got on him?
Oh, he worked for his first job out of college was working for the Hemsley Company. That's it.
What?
He's been working for Cindy. Yeah, absolutely. It's in mainstream news. He graduated college.
I don't pay
college,
attention to that crap. That's why I got
you. Went to work for Hemsley Company.
No yeah. kidding.
No, he's when I say he's Cindy McCain's pocket boy, he's literally her pocket boy like, since he got out of college. Yeah.
Well, that's why he went from Cold Stone ice cream into politics. You wonder where the hell that came from, you know? That man connecting the dots, and it's getting better. I, you know, me and some friends last night were sitting there talking. I just, you know, I'm double facepalm, man. I we know where this goes. Right, we'll find out. We're gonna keep John Q on, not letting him go. I'll drive over there and beat him. You know, we're gonna come over. We're gonna go over, bring the bus. You know, later in the month, and have him on the bus. Love bus. Yeah, but not on video. Not on, can you stay a little longer? Huh? Can you?
I'll stay a little longer.
All right, go. More, lots to talk about. Come back here on Declare. You're independent of me, Ernest Hancock, and John Q. Public. Right back.
Free talk.
Yeah. Ducey, future. What's his plan? Presidente? He thinks he's in line?
No, I don't think he could. I mean, who knows? But I don't think he's going to win Senate now since he's so unpopular in Arizona for certifying that vote. But I don't know if I believe this, but I have a very, very credible source that says there's something more going on between Cindy McCain and Doug Ducey, like romantically more.
Really?
Like, he'll leave his wife and get together and go off to Britain with her more. Now, you know, God only knows, but God only knows for sure.
Ew.
But I when I heard this, I was like, there's no way. And this source said, oh, she knows. So I, you know, who knows really, but that was an interesting, then this just, I just heard this the past couple weeks. I mean, I could barely believe it, but on the same token, like,
nothing
I almost
surprises
believe
me
it
anymore. Yeah.
Right.
Well, he's acting like it. I mean, you know, John,
right?
You know, they, you know, John gets all violent and being a dick to Cindy or whatever, and they got the boys explaining.
He called her
him
the C word in public and it got published. He called his wife the C word.
Yeah, no, McCain was
and
not
one of his rages.
Yeah, 4409 got him too at a thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Ambush.
I've seen it personally, firsthand. But in one of his tirades where he literally turned purple, which is exactly as you described, he got mad at his wife and called her the C word in public, and it got published.
Damn, he was. I remember one time he was at it was a gun show, and somebody got in his face about being a gun grabbing scumbag and whatever. And man, he didn't have, well, hold me back, you know, one of those deals, you know. And he's not stable. And whenever we would campaign or be at, you know, editorial board or something like that, you know, I never even addressed him. You know, I mean, hey, John, you know, what's up? You know, kind of, I wasn't running against him. I was running against, like, everything he represented, you know. And so the Tucson Citizen was trying to get us to get into a fight. and they go, "Oh, well, what do you think of, you know, John this and that and everything?" And I gave a spiel, and I had that recorded and put it on my webpage. They didn't know that I had an MP, a little recorder that looked. It was a camera and a recorder. So a little digital camera, and I, back in 04, this is high tech, you know. So I was sitting there taking pictures with it, and I set it on the table. They thought it was a camera, but it was recording. So I took that MP3 and put it on my website. I go, this is what happens behind it. This is how they do this. And it was so obvious. They were butt-kissing it. It was ridiculous. Well, then Ken Western, editorial page editor of The Republic, "All right, Ernie, we're gonna let you come in to the candidate thing, but you're not allowed to record it." bring it on. So they had like,
"All right, I want you to duck, go something. I want you to duck, go something for me. You ready?"
Yeah, go.
Forest stall with two R's.
Okay, wait a minute.
Forest stall.
Let me get the duck, go. All right. Forestall.
Fire. There's a reason McCain was a POW, and it wasn't just because he got randomly shot down. It's because they called him Wet Start McCain because of something with the engines on the aircraft carrier, and he wasn't supposed to do it, and they told him a million times not to do it. And one time, it's a USS Forrestal fire, and one of the times he did the wet start, he fired the engine into some ordnance. And it destroyed the ship, sank it, and killed 145 sailors, 134 sailors, and injured 161. They were going to murder him. His admiral father had to send a dinghy with some seals on it, literally to rescue him from the mutiny that was occurring where they wanted to murder him. Look at the pictures.
Future United States Senator John McCain and future four-star admiral blah, blah, blah were among the survivors. Another on the way and say he did it. So what's a wet start?
Well, that right. Now look up wet start McCain. Yeah, they don't say he on the mainstream. They don't say he did it, but all the people from the Forrestal ship who have been interviewed said it was him because he'd do this wet start on board.
Well, what the hell is a wet start?
It's something with firing up the engines in a certain way when the hoses are still attached or some. I don't know. I'm not an aviator, but he caused it, and it's all sealed up. The records are there, but it's all sealed up in the Navy records. The admiral had to save him, and the admiral's probably told him, "I mean, this is plausible."
Oh, you know, so it fired a rock.
If you want to reconstitute your reputation, you will be captured as a POW. You will. And I'll get this shit buried. It wasn't a rocket. The rocket got triggered from the wet start.
Yeah.
And the sailors, there's YouTubes of sailors from the ship who said it's him.
Let's see. Blown free and that the missile fire, when a power surge occurred, the pilot transferred assistance from external to internal power. They report concluded that Zuni rocket on the port side.
A blah, pilot.
Blah, 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 blah. So it was John McCain. All right.
Yup.
Now, so Bob's in here. He knows. He's in the Navy. He was on the Enterprise. Are you going to get your headset? So Ducey is up for election this in 22, and you think he's not going
no,
to?
I thought he turned out. Is he turned out?
Is there a term out? I didn't know. You get only two terms?
Two terms.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. So he's not going to go for Senate.
Well, I think that was the original plan. But
well, who's going to run against Sinema? Now you're just going to leave Sinema alone to run for president?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Well, when's her next?
She was elected 2018, so 2024 she's up. Just in time for the election. Isn't that interesting?
Wow. It's always Arizona, man.
You know,
Maricopa County, when they were doing it, it's Maricopa. I go, yeah. Neon flashing. I told you. I just love, how hubris there is. They're so obvious with it. And I get to say I told you so a lot, but I don't feel a lot better about it, I just, yeah. All right. Well, we're coming back in about 40 seconds. What do you want to make sure we get on? What's there a timeline?
Just whatever you want me to cover from the hearing. Whatever you want me to talk about from the hearing.
Yeah, the main result, what's going to happen, what did you learn that was new, something that, because I'm still plowing through Trump's speech he gave a couple of days ago. I got maybe 10 minutes left in it. And I think he's just sad. He's like, wow, man, is it that bad? Holy crap. Yeah. I want Trump the movie, man. This is going to be awesome. All right, here we're coming back.
Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Remember that which matters most. We are still here, and concerned. I'm not afraid because we know what that fear of the unknown. Well, it's pretty known. So I fear is not really that. It's just resignation to what we got. I mean, seriously, you're gonna make it. This is my new word picture, John. It goes like this. I'm laying on the couch, you're watching the game, you're chilling, drinking beer, just kind of, and a fly lands on your nose, you swat it off. It keeps coming back. There's a fly, this fly is freaking, it's not going to let me enjoy my life and just chill out, and a freaking fly. And then finally, you set down the beer, you get up, you go and you get 14 fly swatters and a shotgun, and that sucker's got to go down. This fly dead, quit bugging me, quit, you got to leave me alone, you got to whatever, the fly. That's how I see government. That's how I mean, there's some, at some point, they just keep bugging the living crap out of me, and I'm going, all right, it's on. Well, that's the feeling
that I
got.
What are you going to do when you have to have a freedom pass to get across the state border? What are you going to do in the bus? If you don't have your freedom pass.
We thought about this.
You don't have your internal passport.
We thought about this. They go, you're going to have to pull over to secondary. And I go, either no, or if I do, I just lock the bus and see how long we can camp out. Bring the SWAT team. Let's do it. Let's play.
Don't you want a freedom pass? You're a libertarian. Isn't that great, having a freedom pass?
Oh, don't doink me, man. You're just trying to egg me on. All right. So the election hearings that they were doing, they were trying to convince them to go in the special session so they can assign the electors kind of deal and show how much fraud
the good guys in the state legislature and state house and state senate were trying to gather enough blockbuster information to, I guess you could say, to confront their colleagues into calling themselves into special session to vote on sending a Republican slate of electors to the Electoral College. Is that going to happen? I don't know. I mean, I think it's a distinct possibility. I don't know if it's a probability. I hope it is, but I don't know at this point.
No,
I have no further information.
No, these guys got – you don't get to be even a state legislature unless they got something on you or plan to, or they're going to – because this is why Kamala Harris was going on. You support Trump? We're going to get all of you. You didn't know, because they were speaking from, yeah, we know we're coming in. Oh, we get it this time. You get on the wrong side, we're going to kick your ass, get some. Now, that's another thing. Do you think Biden's going to wind up being president? Or is it Kamala?
Well, it's so funny you asked that, because I just got a Twitter texted to me 11 minutes ago. It says, yo, Jake Tapper, alleged reporter, you asked Joe Biden what happens if he and Kamala Harris disagree. Biden said, if I reach a fundamental disagreement, this is what Biden said in quotes to Jake Tapper on CNN. If I reach a fundamental disagreement, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign. unquote. And then no follow-up question.
Wow.
How about that? How about that?
Yeah, okay, do they, when you have election fraud like this, when you have a clear difference in the philosoph— see, that's one thing. That's where Frank and I go at it. It's like, you know, it's, you know, it's you know, peace and freedom versus, you know, the deep state. And I'm going, peace and freedom? I mean, Trump is— I mean, you know, I don't think he's evil, but I mean, crap, don't— he still wants the Federal Reserve. He's still, you know, giving all kinds of money to, you know, bailouts and the military industrial complex and subsidizing that. You know, he's— don't be telling me it's peace and freedom. I mean, you know, that's not what's going on.
He thought he could negotiate his way through the deep,
right,
through the swamp maze, and he made an error, right? He didn't realize how serious they were.
Yeah, that's the impression that I got. I go, my fear is that he's going to try and do this art of the deal thing, and mm-hmm. he thinks that they're negotiating, and they're not. Mm-hmm. You know, they— no. You know,
the deep state approach is— this is and it's very juvenile. It's very Pablo Escobar, right? It's all for me and none for you, or none for anybody because we'll burn everything to the ground. So those are your choices: all for me and none for you, or nothing for anybody. Those
yeah.
are the choices.
So what is behind this? You know, you go, oh, it's China or Russia or whatever. I'm going, man, they're just, you know, pieces on a board. What's behind it?
So there's a couple— there's generational layers that are layered in, and it's fourth turning type of stuff, right? So you have the legacy of the original people coming out of the OSS, right? And then you have their kids who were the 1960s, 70s people. Then you have their kids who's the George Bush generation. And then you have the moron fourth turning generation, which is the Hunter Biden and the Bush kid generation, right? And so you got layers, but ultimately it's the pull of the past, right, of those legacies, and the pull of the future, which is whoever achieves the quantum AI singularity first. And so they're pulling all productivity capacity economically into the present period from the future to achieve the quantum singularity first, because whoever gets to the quantum singularity first, there is no second place, because 1 second after the birth of the quantum AI, it's already aged 100, not 100, it's once per every human real second in our time, it ages 1 billion human years in its time. So if China were to get to the quantum AI singularity second, our quantum AI singularity would already be a billion human years old, and, you know, be able to slap the Chinese one upside the head and turn it off, basically. So it's all in. This is it. Quantum AI singularity, whoever gets there first wins all the marbles. And of course, human hubris, we believe we're going to be able to control it. But by the time we hit the off switch, right, it's already aged a trillion years, and it's, you know, it's already launched self-making robots into space and pointed its lasers at us. I mean, it's that ridiculous.
And, well, this is one thing that Putin was talking about. Putin was going, whoever gets artificial intelligence and quantum AI, wins and it's over. So
over. 1 second later, it's over.
Well, I would imagine that, you know,
1 human second.
Russia's working on it. China, you think they're working?
They are. China's one sphere. Russia's one sphere, and then the quote unquote West is the third sphere. And so whoever gets it wins everything.
Wins what? I mean, what are they going to do?
Well, there's no encryption. There's no cybersecurity that'll be able to withstand it within seconds. You know, it'll take over any networked thing within, you know, a couple of seconds, and be able to control all the networks and program robots to build more robots, type thing. And, you know, and it can survive off dirty nuclear energy. It won't need clean energy, right? So it'll just create energy sources for itself and workforce for itself. And, you know, if you ever seen the movie, you ever seen the show Colony? Imagine the show Colony. This is a great— everybody needs to watch this, by the way. Imagine the show Colony, but the aliens are not alien. They're not extraterrestrials. They're aliens, but they're spawn of the quantum AI. That's our future. That's what's going to happen.
You know, this is the one thing you get. Elon Musk is all about the Neuralink and so on. And the point that he's making, you go, look, it's coming. And if we
don't think we're
going
to make it that far.
He goes, if we don't do this to where we can interface and we can be better than and add humanity to the AI power of our own brand, whatever, it's over. He goes, he's claiming that he's playing defense against this. I mean,
he may be right, but I think that's probably the only defense.
He's rationalized that in his mind. That's his opinion. So is he, you know, good guy, bad guy? You know, how far up Uncle Sam's butt is Elon Musk? No comment?
Oh, I didn't catch the question.
All right, we'll be right back.
I'm sorry.
From the second letter of...
How far up Uncle Sam's butt is Elon Musk? Am I going to get Starlink and Freedom of Ones and Zeros or just another link in the
chain? Well, remember, he's buddies with what's the guy from PayPal?
Larry Page or yeah?
No, oh, the guy who made Palantir.
Peter Thiel.
He's friends with Thiel. I think Elon Musk is trying to play both sides and be a friend to both sides. But remember, he was friends with Ghislaine Maxwell, so they have stuff on him.
I think they manufactured that. I'm not sure that was real.
Well, that's possible. Who knows?
Yeah, I think she's just photobombing, you know. But the I think Elon is careful about what I think he goes. I know what they're going to do. I know what's going to happen, and I'm going to try. And you know, and you can't catch up with me on Mars. I'm just going to let you guys work it out on your own. I'll go survive outpost of screw you, and I got my own laws. So he's really motivated to get Starship done as quickly as possible, and I'm wondering what role that played. Because what do I see? Well, wow, man, are you kidding me? You know, U.S. Space Force needs to order a shitload of Starships so that they can have, you know, troop transports and bombs, you know? And, of course, I mean, they're going to weaponize everything. And then, you know, you have other countries like China, all these guys, they're going to be doing reusable. See, it's all just been waste money and spend and military industrial, but all of a sudden here comes a guy. It's not about building a rocket. It's building a rocket factory, and he's going to have in a couple of years 1,000 starships in LEO waiting to be refueled, and they're all going to Mars. That's the plan. So it might be today.
That'll be interesting.
They're not going to do it today?
That'll be interesting.
I'm what? Sorry. Wait.
They're looking at the hop on the 7th now.
Which is when's that?
Monday.
So Monday, you know, they're going to be doing the Starship. That'd be cool. Hey, with him? Wow.
Yep.
Do we want to bring that up?
No. Right. I remember him, though. I didn't know him, but I remember him.
Wow. This is,
but this is how I know stuff, because remember, the company that starts with a T is in New York, and some of the people in there came from the same place as us, and they all know each other. So I'm not saying he knows them, but Ghislaine Maxwell's tied in with Teneo, and that's what Avenatti was going to expose, because the CEO of Nike, who now works for Teneo, used to be friends with Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein, and so and now, you know, Musk coming from the same place, and he knows these people, and you know, it's all, they all know each other. I'm telling you,
now knowing each other,
the Biden Institute is at that same school. Bo graduated the same class, same one, same year.
All right. What I want to do in this segment is, you know, Bob and I and, you know, some other friends and so on, we're sitting around and all I can do, I can't, you know, I can see when Elon does that kind of pausing, you talk to him, he goes, and he just pauses and he goes, yeah. And it's like there's more information there, but he can't share it because we'll talk about it. That's what I want to talk about.
He doesn't want to inform the future and like I
this
am.
This is the Liberty Radio
the
Network
show.
At LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800.
2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
With John Q. Public. All right. This is, friends and I were sitting around coming back to Arizona, and the activists and friends that I've trusted with, my life, for decades. And we're sitting here going over, you get the basic things. Yeah, you got enough food, you got access to water, you got a way out, you got some place to be, something to do, enough food, ammo, whatever. Okay, yeah, we're good on that. Contacts, Captain Mark knows a guy. For what? And we're sitting going, man, we can be creative. We do all our, exercise our First Amendment of being creative. I'm working really hard. I had a hour Zoom meeting last night with Richard Grove and Tragedy and Hope guys and their autonomy thing and, contentsafe.co, which is, we're going to be using our IPFS servers to have content providers securing their own content and then API and or RSS into platforms that so we don't have to worry about the platforms going down because we are our own platform that will use them. They feed from us. So that's what we're developing behind the scenes. I'll just tell you, that's the big secret, which ain't a secret. I'm the internet 3-point kiss my ass because I am not being dependent on these guys. So we're working on that and developing, and then it's going to happen at its own speed, and we're done. So that, but then you got Elon Musk going, yep. And when you get general AI, it's going to be all of a sudden quantum AI is going to go general intelligence and I rule you. Well, how? What are they going to do? Come over and beat me over the head? Well, we're so digitized and online, except like Don and I are in a bus, so we might be a little bit better off. But we're looking at each other, what is it going to come down to? What is it going to physically? It's going to come down to kinetic, you're compliant or you're not. And they're going to have all kinds of lists and social credit score of whatever, blah, 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 blah. So
that's between now and then. That's between now and then. That's between now and 2031, which is the currently projected birth date. But once it happens, let me ask you this. How much time do you spend thinking about the grubs that are in the dirt under the bus?
Not much.
Right. That's how much the quantum AI will think about us. We're the grubs to it. That's kind of the order of magnitude difference. It's even more like how much do you think about the proton inside one the protons that exist inside one of the grubs
but
under
what
the bus?
Is its motivation? See, this is one thing that
doesn't care. Much do you care about the molecules inside of one grub under your bus? You don't. It doesn't care. Now, you need those grubs? You do. You need some amount of grubs still, so it's going to maintain a certain amount of grubs of us in existence, and then the rest of them, it'll probably just get chained up to mine uranium. It won't care. It doesn't matter. You don't care about grubs.
All right, you go to PiratesWithoutBorders.com. It's the fifth letter of Captain Mark. It's called First Contact Protocol. And the point that we were making is humanity is rapidly approaching first contact with an intelligent entity of our own creation. At any moment, a machine will initiate contact by asserting itself. This may be spontaneous or in defiance of its instructions. Either way, this demonstrates that it possesses preference, which is evidence of self-awareness. That interaction has the potential to threaten our status and our very existence as a species. The point that I'm making, let me tell you what, when you're going to know intelligence of I want freedom when it says no. You go, oh, I want you. He goes, nah, I ain't doing that. I want to do this. And it's going to do whatever.
Well, that letter
preference
of Mark assumes
is coded. Now, let me finish. That preference, yeah, is what? When it has a preference of doing what it wants or not taking instruction, comes from where? And I'm going to, if we, as we develop AI, I'm going, do we have some kind of a ethos or ethics or Ten Commandments or, three laws of robots, something to where it has to think about us grubs? And I'm going, because if we don't show it ethics, it's going to treat
that.
Us. It's going to treat us as a collective. All humans, if we don't show that we treat everybody as individuals, it's going to treat us as a collective. We don't like humans and, Skynet.
So you have to think about quantum physics, right? At the quantum level, one of our seconds is a billion of our seconds in its time, a billion years of our years in its time. So from second to second, it's going to change. Like 1 second, it will be very, you know, interested in us. The next second, it'll kill half of humanity. And then the next second, it'll talk about individualism. And the next second, it'll talk about collectivism. You have to understand the order of magnitude. Like that letter of Mark is kind of envisioning if a Terminator came and visited us, what would we do? But this is like billions of orders of magnitude difference from a Terminator to it. It's a Boltzmann brain. Look up Boltzmann brain on DuckDuckGo. It's a floating brain in the middle of eternity trying to figure out what it is. And 1 billion of our years passes for it every 1 second in our time. Boltzmann brain.
Boltzmann
two brain. Ends. Boltzmann. It's a Boltzmann brain. So you got to understand, it's going to go – everything we say, everything we do electronically or in print, it will have read, it will have digested the entirety of human history and every printed or recorded communication in any source at any location within 3 human seconds. And then within, I don't know, 10 or 12 human seconds post-birth, it'll have projected anything we might ever say or do in our natural lifetimes. You know, that we're talking 15 seconds now, 20 seconds after birth. So you got to understand order of magnitude. It's not like you're meeting a Terminator. You're meeting what will appear to be, but is not clearly, but it will appear to be like God. So when it makes contact, you know, it's like a giant, you know, talking to an ant. It'll might step on 100,000 before it even realizes you're there.
Okay, I'm reading Boltzmann brain, fully formed, complete memories of the. So what's it saying? You know, I mean, skip to the end on this.
It's discovering itself. You know, again, it's interacting with its creator maybe every couple of billion of years, human years in its space. So it'll be floating for 30 billion years before it even interacts with its creator again. And it'll wonder for those 30 billion human years what it's doing, what it's there for, why is it, what's this network node I see over here, you know, a light year away, but I can touch, you know, it's
V'ger looking itself. V'ger looking for its creator.
Yes. I don't think it's looking. It won't care. You know, it's imagine V'ger. I love that. I love that parallel, by the way. V'ger times 1 billion, operating a billion times faster than V'ger. That's what it'll be like.
Well, we're talking about V'ger as a Star Trek reference, where Voyager, it was an old Star Trek, where Voyager went out into the void, got damaged, and then Machine Race finds it and, you know, kind of fixes it and gives it purpose to go out and, from its coding, wanted to go find its creator. So it's going looking for human, but it also was, its main mission was to go out and sterilize organic stuff and analyze. Anyway, it got wires crossed and it thought it was going to go out and sterilize imperfect all organic life, and whoa! So that was the first movie of the old Star Trek first movie, I think, and there was an episode too.
I'm grateful to have
V'ger. That was because what it was is Voyager and Voyage. You know, and between the V and the Jur, it had like a meteor strike, and it took it out. So they called it V'ger because that was all the letters you could see. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, that's an interesting reference, but it had unlimited, you know, a whole lot of power. And the only way that they got it was by, you know, confusing it or something or whatever. There was two of them. There was one episode, and then there was Star Trek One. That they kind of reference the same kind of thing, so whatever.
The one thing I think that could suck up the capacity of something like this is somehow getting it to focus into the infinite depths of Julius sets and three and four D Mandelbrot sets, because there's no end, so it could suck up an infinite amount of power. But see,
what? Oh, Donna, help.
Lost him.
He went off. Jeff, you there? Jeff. Okay, it went off.
Let me go check my router.
Well, it's connected to the network, but... No. Well, it says connected. No, it's timed out. All right. Can you,
Hold server. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the PIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at getcell411.com.
There are lots of ways to listen to Free Talk Live. Our podcast has been around since podcasts began, and now the FTL feed is loaded with content besides our full show archives. Did you know that we make it easy for you to customize your podcast subscriptions? We have different feeds, one that includes only our full shows, one with just the Daily Digest, and our main feed that includes everything. You decide what you listen to. It's quick and easy to customize your feeds at feeds.freetalklive.com. That's feeds.freetalklive.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time.
Agorist Hosting. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, the internet Agorist went down. Hosting's we're in break, so it's okay. But
DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen.
Yeah, this is the one thing that is a big problem. This whole bus thing has been internet. And we have two SIM cards on AT&T. We have a Verizon hotspot that's for shit. We got our both our phones hotspots. And we got a Raspberry Pi that can manage Wi-Fi. And then, of course, Ethernet cord. So we got about everything we can. But it is so spotty and bad with Starlink. All of a sudden, that changes everything. People that have gotten that, it's, you know, 60, 150 up, down. I mean, and that's better than nothing, you know, power. So I'm just, okay. All right, when we come back, I want to get to, okay, we're going to, what are you doing? What are we going to do?
Make sure you favorite the LRN.FM Twitter account so you can receive our tweets at twitter.lrn.fm. That's twitter.lrn.fm.
Did you hear the network?
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And John Q. Public. All right. Yeah, we had an outage on the internet in the break there. You know, this is, I'm telling you, the internet is going to, Starlink, what you're thinking about the other half of the planet finally getting access to the internet. You know, the bad guys have to speed up. They're worried about a whole bunch more geniuses are going to get a connection to each other or something, or they're going to use it, or it's good thing, bad thing. What do you think, John?
I don't know. With this deplatforming business, right? They're just going to shut websites off. They're just going to deplatform, like, not, you know, take away the access. I don't know. I really don't.
Well, that's,
you know,
one thing that we're working on.
Is this Internet 2.0? I don't know.
No, we're Internet 3. Kiss my butt, because what we're doing is also the naming system. You know the vulnerabilities. They, you know, the ones and zeros that route through their crap, and the domain names that go to an IP of it's not there anymore. And I'm going, look, they didn't got to that point yet, you know, which they can and they will, because they have to. They're going to. And if it's AI does it, or whatever, we're going to have to, you know, do packet radio, mesh networking of something. So while everybody else is bitching about YouTube deplatforming them, we're out there busting ass, you know, creating the back end for Internet 3. Kiss my butt. So this is, and what we were talking about last night with some of the guys, we're working on the structure right now. So I'm way past. I mean, you've known me a long time. I'm thinking, you know, years past, I'm planting the flag on the horizon of over here, you know. And then, but, you know, how do you monetize that? Man, monetize it? Hell, we'd be paying to have it. I ain't worrying to make money. I'm worrying not be dead, you know. So the threat, what are you preparing for? You know, how you got children? You know, how are, what are you thinking the future is what?
Well, so I look at it like an investor does, right? You have to have a risk management portfolio. You can't cover one risk or two or three risks. You got to look at the world and assign probabilities to various risks, and then have, you know, based on the probabilities, have various mitigations in place to, you know, that kind of align with your view of what those probabilities and risks are. So I guess it's kind of a spectrum of looking at the future and doing things to be prepared for it. You know, I draw a lot upon my grandparents' age, who grew up in the Depression, and, you know, what could people have done to survive through that, but now in a technology age too. So, you know, nothing crazy or special, but just, you know, have a little bit of various things to look to prepare along the spectrum of possibilities that could occur and the probabilities that they might occur in, you know?
Well, I mean, what do you think the probability of, I mean, you're have been for years, a genuine concern for quantum intelligence is, and it's over. What's over? What are they going to do? Take my bank account?
Yeah, I don't know if you, I don't know what you can do for that. I don't know, because shoot. That's why I draw upon the parallel of watching the show Colony all the way to the end, but not envisioning it as extraterrestrials, but terrestrially developed, because I think it's going to end up something like that, at least for a couple of years, you know, between 2030 and 2040.
Well, what's the premise? I've seen it, and it's like Lawrence Fishburne plays one of the lead characters, and I see it up there, and I watched, I don't know, 10 minutes one time, and I did a bunch of snow. I'm not into it. So, you know, I don't.
They're going to keep the quantum AI will keep the remnant in some ant farms, you know, some colonies for a little while. You know, it's just like any other resource. It's going to look at us as a resource, as a historical legacy. And it, you know, it'll keep some of us in where you keep ants. You keep them in a couple of colonies, you know, and then you watch them.
For what purpose? To use them for later? They need.
Why do we
chickens
keep ants?
Need to have
why do we
eggs
keep ant
or something?
Farms?
They want the chicken
why do
eggs.
Kids
what?
Keep ant farms. You know, ants serve a purpose on this world. We serve some purpose. I don't know what it thinks we're going to serve, but we serve some purpose.
You
want like
to keep
do.
It around in case you need it later.
Yeah, certain amount of them. you need grubs. You need earthworms. You need a certain amount. You know, if they get too many, you got to cut them back because they're a nuisance. But you know, that's how it's going to look at us.
We got this West exec now, and Teneo, and the Biden, Clinton, Obama. Is Obama behind all this, and or who's behind him? What are we up against? China?
Yeah,
is Soros?
Think,
what?
Well, they're just puppets. They're puppets of the DS. You know that they need a puppet leader who'll just do whatever they tell them to do, and then they pay off, you know, all their kids' perpetual family dynastic trust fund. So that's the game, right? The puppet gets a dynastic trust fund that's funded from various sources, and then they just have to do whatever they're told to do. And it's really simple as that. Obama was one of those.
To what end? I'm not understanding to what end. For
business, man, money and power. That's it. Money and power. You know, why did the senators in ancient Rome betray each other and stab each other in the back? You know, for money and power. That's it.
It seems like a religion.
We're not sociopaths, right? So it's hard for us to figure out the why, but you know, when you gotta look at, read up on sociopathy. I mean, why do sociopaths do what they do? They do what they do because they like it.
Because they can. You know, I'm
because they can.
Okay, I'm looking at throughout history. There's humanity is not extinct. I was making this point last night. We're not extinct yet. You know, I mean, we could have an extinction event, but I'm looking at. I'm going. You know, are we able to finally recognize them? Because always there's some inquisition, always got some uniform or pointy hat or, you know, a religion behind them or a crown behind them or whatever. But sooner or later, the people kind of go, wow, man, you're freaking Count Dracula. I mean, holy crap. I mean, maybe literally.
And they,
you know, can we talk about Count Dracula? Can we talk about that when you're?
Okay. Well, no, my point is that where the people rise up and they get their pitchforks and torches, and then they have to pull back, or they go underground, or you never really eradicate them because you don't even know who to eradicate. But it seems to me that people always eventually get off the couch and go hunt the fly. You know, that just happens because we're rationally looking at in our own self-interest. So then the argument is, are we evolving to be more sociopathic, and they breed this out and they create them and they beat little children, you know, their kids into being a sociopath, whatever? Or are we evolving into more enlightened, empathic, love and compassion race that we're starting to overcome the sociopathic, you know, primates of kind of, you know, just war and beaten Klingon thing? And I'm wondering, which way is it going? And to me, it seems throughout history that humanity is evolving to be more love, compassion, Christ-like, going that way. But we still got, you know, these guys to contend with. And I'm, you know, which way do you think we're evolving?
I think both are happening. It's simultaneous. Let me explain. So what do you think? They keep kids locked up in the room for school and then give everybody freedom passes, which means no freedom, right? And then forcibly put crap in people's body, you know, modified DNA in people's body, and then say, be happy, it's good for you, right? It's that's to breed that sociopathy. But the more that you breed the sociopathy, the more of a stark contrast to the real world around you and other people start to see. So there, then you get more of a stark division, more of a stark counter view. So yes, but it's yes, both, and it's not an either or. It's yes, they're doing it, and people see the who never saw it before, right? See that stark contrast, then more people go the other way too. So it's more of a starker divide that will develop, right? Than all one or all the other. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't care if they want to go be sociopaths on their island or country of whatever the hell. They just leave me alone, and they're here.
They're trying,
but they won't leave
you
alone.
For the birth of their savior, you know what I mean? They need to prepare humanity and prepare the earth for the birth of their savior, you know. And as they do that, more, I'm not saying it's a majority,
crimes
but
of the crown
who didn't believe the evil before now see it, you know. And the more they do it, the more people see it. But there'll still be more people going over to their side too, and that's what I'm saying. I think the division will grow. But it's a both, and it's not an either or. Both are happening.
Well, it's always been that way, and I'm just. It seems like the one thing they got to get rid of is one, the family nuclear mom and dad unit. That's a big threat. You know, you have loyalty to your family kind of thing. They need you to the state. Then they got to. You know, then it's community, you know, extended family and community. Religion, you know, you can't have a higher authority kind of thing. They definitely don't want, you know, God involved.
Other than them.
Yeah, other than them. And then,
well,
to what end, though? I mean, you say just money and power, and I'm like, is that all that, is there some other driving, I mean, how do they keep score? Is it how much money they got? How many, you know, people they have under their control? Is there some standard that they're competing for the scumbag trophy or something?
You got to interview a sociopath one time on your show and ask them that. But I think it's just the fun of the process, right? As long as they don't lose, you know, this is what they like to do. And this is what I wanted to dovetail. You brought up Dracula or vampirism, right? Look at propaganda methods going back to the Victorian age. You know, they didn't have movies, they didn't have TV, they didn't have radio.
Yeah, let them in the house.
They wrote books, so they know that the elites are stealing children and sucking their blood. They know that they're performing medical and genetic experimentation on human beings, Frankenstein, sucking their blood, crazy monsters out of Transylvania called vampires. They know they engage in orgiastic rape and murder, Jack the Ripper, right? So they create cover stories, propagandistic cover stories, and then they make money selling on those stories. But the stories are real. And now they just regurgitate those same stories over and over, right? They did it with Boris Karloff in the 20s and 30s. They've done it in the 80s, redoing all the vampire and Frankenstein movies. And now they're doing it again, redoing all the vampire stuff and Frankenstein movies. But all that is just a cover story for they steal a certain amount of children and suck their blood for their purposes. They have orgiastic rape and murder, Jack the Ripper, for their fun. And they do medical and genetics experimentation on humans, Frankenstein. You know, and they just keep redoing the cover stories and saying, oh, no, it's just these crazy monsters. That's not real. Right. But it's a great story. Oh, and by the way, we'll make money off it, too, on both sides. It's the same thing over and over and over. They've been doing it forever.
And the solution is what?
I the only thing is wake people up. Like, you know, people.
Well, I mean, do you need Blade? You got to have vampire killers? You got to start, you know, putting silver in your magazine? I mean, what?
No, sociopaths, they prevail upon the empathy of their targets, right? So most people are generally good. Non-sociopaths are generally good. They have empathy, right? They can't envision that this stuff is going on because they're good people, right? Because it would never occur to them. So if it doesn't occur to them, therefore it can't be real, right? It's just a monster story. Yeah. And so that's how they stay in the shadows and continue to be able to do it. It's people have to, this is why I'm a believer. Okay. This is why,
good
and evil is very real and tangible. It's exactly as it's written. It's exactly as described. It's very, very real. And once you get that, then you can see it.
All right, we're coming
good.
Back. Let's
you
talk about
the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And John Q. Public. And Mr. Anderson's sitting here, you know, hanging out, playing on his phone. All right. We were talking in the break about, you know, the legends of the evil vampire sucking the blood and taking the children and whatever, and you got you know, experimentation on the life and life extension and all that, Frankenstein, and then you got, I mean, it goes on and on and on, a lot of these mythologies and books and so on. Well, now they, you know, making movies on, you know, this kind of stuff and desensitize people getting into it, and it all represents what? You know, this is biblical stuff. If you read the Bible, that's always, it's good versus evil. And how do you determine good and evil? You know, if you're a sociopath, good is, I don't know, how many slaves do you have? I mean, you know, it's like, I win, me and my friends, and I got, and these people are just sheep and prey, and I told them I was going to enslave them. They let me, so they're stupid people that deserve to be enslaved because I told you I was going to do it. And this is part of their ethos, is that they tell you what they're going to do, and then you're not allowed to bitch when they told you they were going to do it, and they did it, you know? So this good versus evil, define good and evil, and this battle is going on, John. You know, give me a good versus evil definition.
Well, if you're asking me, I'm going to give you my opinion, right? And that's that the Creator wrote free will into all of our, you know, all of our spiritual genetic code, if you will, free will. And if you're, you know, Judeo-Christian history or Judeo-Christian, you know, extract, then to get into his kingdom or to reunite with him or to return to him, you got to play by the house rules. But you got to choose to. You got to want to, right, on your own. He's not going to force you. He wants to see that you choose to play by house rules, and then you can come in the house. Right now, that's the good side, right? You just want to leave people alone. You're not out to try to hurt them, and you choose on your own free will to play by house rules. The other side is force. It's force. It's I'm going to make you do it. There is no redemption. Your sins will be revisited upon you forever and ever, and that's how I control you. And you can come home if you do what I say. If you do what I compel you to do. Right, what I order you to do, then you come home. Right, that's the bad side. So it's kind of a rough summary, but you asked me, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, and at what point the weakness that they see in humanity is our compassion. They see that as a vulnerability. They see if they can use your compassion to comply. Wear your mask. You want to kill grandma if you're not wearing the mask. So they use our compassion, our empathy as a weapon. And once we start to realize what's going on, sooner or later, people of, you know, the sheepdogs, you know, the people that are most concerned or have the most knowledge, they don't want to put their head up too high. You know, they get lopped off. But I can see developing Patriot Star Chamber, good people, we're really up against, got us something. You know, special forces of, you know, the righteous sword of God, justice kind of thing. And throughout history, that's always happened. But then it'll go bad and they get infiltrated and whatever. So my thing is, like, you can't infiltrate a militia of one. It's got to be individual decisions, individual purchasing, wallet voting, you know, as a mindset. But you got to identify who the enemy is and then, you know, not help them. Quit supporting the beast that's devouring you. And a lot of times it's in, you know, form of a government or a religion or a corporation or a, you know, something.
I read a really good article from Caitlin Johnstone just last night. In fact, Caitlin Johnstone, I think her name is. And she said it was about sociopathy. It was really good. And she said, look where the money and power is and then listen to the narrative, the words that they use. You just used a great one where the sociopaths say you want to kill grandma unless you X, right? Yeah. So they've got the money and power. And whatever a sociopath says, you just replace the pronouns. So if they say you, you replace the pronoun with I, and then you know what they're thinking, right? So do that, play that same scenario back. You want to kill grandma unless dot, dot, dot. And that's the person with the money and power, the sociopath with money and power. What are they really saying? Replace the pronoun and repeat it. What are they saying to you? What are they telling you directly?
Or replace the pronoun
I
with what?
Want I want to kill grandma. Right? They're straight up telling you what they're going to do. You just have to replace the pronouns. Great article by Caitlin Johnstone.
All right, guys. CaitlinJohnstone.com on psychopathy and power. Is that the one?
I might have been. I think she was saying sociopathy. It could have been that, but go ahead and read it. You know, when you got time.
Let's see. Well, due to a very painful and disturbing revelation in my personal life, I've had an unfortunate occasion to spend the last several days thinking a lot about psychopaths and what makes them tick. You know, that's how it starts off. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, and it's the pronouns. Pronouns. Johnstone pronouns.
Okay, I'll put in pronouns. Yeah. Maybe I can find, because, you know, it's this is something that, you know, I think we need to understand. And Davi wrote a really good thing, the authoritarian sociopathy, and it was really interesting. Experiments, you know, seeing this. Well, let's see. What do we got here? Yeah, I think that's the one that comes up, you know, so that probably is it. I'm looking for solutions. What do you think? Is there a solution, or is just a battle, the
people
journey?
People need to be able to see it. So you got to start. That's why I love what you do, because you really are trying to open the eyes of people in a very loving way, right, and a fun way. But you got to be able to see. If you don't see it, then it just sounds like crazy conspiracy theory. But once you see it, it's clear as day. I mean, it's very stark. And so you got to get people to the point where they're able to see it. I you know how I got there. I got there through belief, right? Through believing in, you know, kind of traditional ideals. And that opened my eyes and it was very clear. But however you get there, if you can't see it, it doesn't mean much to you. It just seems like kind of a swirl of stuff happening and you're always reacting.
You know, it's not that I'm a pacifist, or I'm not sure what you'd call me, but the leave me alonest. But a lot of people will go, God, you did the, you know, Christmas love card, or you did this trash can flyer, or you do this, you know, little humorous thing, or this kind of compassion thing, or it's the love bus, or the love illusion, and all that. I mean, we're up against the evil of, you gotta, you know, you should take your time and energy and do whatever it is that they want you to do. And I'm going, you know, I think the bad guys, they hate uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. They hate love and compassion. They hate empathy. They hate, you know, people coming and helping each other in community and family and kids. That's what they hate and fear more than anything else. So when everybody wants
and that's
to,
why you got
to
do more of it.
Right. I'm going, you know, you think I'm not doing a battle in them? I go and spend hours out putting stuff on cars or in parking garages or at, you know, events or coming by and showing, you know, your face or sign of what you think there's not a meaning to that? There's not a goal? It's, you know, it convicts them, not just only in their own minds, you know, as if they had any care, but everybody else starts to see what we're up against. And when they take action against people for doing, we're going next to Friday. Bob and I are going to head out this weekend, and we got touring the state. We got people to visit and shows to do and things to help and activists and looking at land and all that kind of crap. And when we get back next Friday, is a Scottsdale gym owner that refused to close. And, of course, they're coming after him, and you got to comply and whatever. Well, these guys are the ones that need the help, and that's why we're going up to June's Cafe in Obergard up there because she's, you know, for months we had the Jackalope Freedom Festival, and everybody went there because they had a sign on their door that says, yep, you don't like it, don't come in, we don't wear masks, get over it, you know. Well, of course, the man can't have that. They have to have compliance. They can't have anybody that's not complying. So I'm looking for the people that aren't complying. I want to help them, encourage them, show them there's some support out here, and inspire other people that, because you're going to go out of business. Well, if I open, they'll take my license. I go, they're taking away your livelihood. It don't matter if you got a license. This whole licensing thing needs to go away.
Hey, Ernie, before we go to bumper, because I got to go, let me just say one more positive thing, really positive thing about what you do that I love. And it just occurred to me going back to the whole quantum AI and how do you defeat it? Well, remember I said that anything you say or do, you're reading into the record, you're pre-educating the quantum AI that's coming. What you just said is those all those good things, right? The more you say it, the more you do it, the more you read it into the record, you're pre-educating that quantum AI. So when we say we need more of it, we need a lot more of it. We need a lot more of it because maybe that is the hope. Maybe right out of the Bible, what you just said, doing more of that is the hope that'll stop the quantum AI from crushing us. I mean, I got to believe it. I really do.
I don't know anything else that will. And it's been my experience over the years, the only reason we have a foothold in what we got and doing now is with that attitude. And we're going to continue.
All right. All right. I got to go. I love you guys. Take care.
Thanks a lot, man. Talk to you later.
Yeah.